Well, first of all, it's good to be back with all of you again after my couple of months away. I want to thank all of you for your prayers and support, especially while I was studying Spanish in Guatemala. I had a really good trip and a lot of good experiences, and hopefully I came back with a little bit more Spanish than I left with. So I also want to just offer a special thanks to Father Matthew Kumi, who filled in for me while I was away. One of the things that I did during my travels was I went to the beach. Now, don't worry, I wasn't there for the whole 2 months. But the thing that I hoped to do when I got to the beach was I wanted to go boogie boarding. Now, boogie boarding is a lot like surfing, except you lie down when you do it. It's a lot easier. Apparently, surfing is one of the hardest sports to learn, so I thought this was something that I could manage and do. And so after arriving at the beach, I went to a rental shop that was near the shore, and I got there kind of late in the afternoon, and they told me that they were closing soon. And so they couldn't rent one for me that day, but that I could go to the gift shop that was in the hotel that was near the beach and buy one. So that didn't deter me. I went in and I bought one, because I really wanted to do it. And it was a really fun experience, and I enjoyed it. Now I have a shiny new boogie board. Now, my fear when I tell this story is that everyone's going to remember that Father John bought a boogie board, but then not remember the actual spiritual substance of my homily. So I'll try and, like, tie those two things together at the end. Now, in our gospel, we hear that Jesus tells us about different items that are bought and sold. So we hear about a treasure that is hidden in a field, and then we also hear about a merchant who buys a pearl of great price. And both of these are parables for the kingdom of heaven, and that we would do everything in our power to be able, once we got these objects and acquired them, to sell everything we have and really seek it. And I thought about just how anxiously I really waited to buy this boogie board, this temporary thing, this temporary experience. Now, I didn't sell all that I had to buy it, but I wondered, do I put just as much effort and get as excited about my salvation or about seeking the kingdom of heaven as I do this temporary object? Do I get as excited about buying this boogie board as I do seeking my own salvation? And for all of us, can we think about maybe something that maybe an experience we had recently or some purchase that you made recently that you really wanted to buy? Did you get as excited about that thing as you do seeking your own salvation? The truth is that we can be pretty lukewarm about seeking our salvation. Now, we might have points of conversion where we get really excited about it. Maybe you go on a retreat and you have a really great experience, or you have a great experience in prayer, but those things can fade away, and the feeling can become less strong. And it's a shame, because our salvation is the most important thing that we are going to seek in our lives. In fact, it's our goal. It's what we want to seek. But thankfully, our salvation is not based on feelings. It's not based on temporary things. And God knows this. And so he gives us a gift to be able to help us to do this. He gives us the gift of understanding. Now, in our collect, or the opening prayer that we had for Mass this morning, we ask for this specific grace: bestow in abundance your mercy upon us, and grant that with you as our ruler and guide, we may use the good things that pass in such a way as to hold fast even now to those that ever endure. So what we're asking for God in this is to give us good things that will help us to seek our salvation, to seek those things that will ever endure. We're asking God to help us in this. And our model for this is King Solomon, who we hear about in our first reading. Solomon is told by God in a dream to ask for anything that he wants, and it will be given to him. Now, there are lots of things that Solomon could ask for. In fact, God points this out at the end. He could have asked for a long life. He could have asked for riches. He could have asked for revenge on his enemies. He could have asked for any number of things. But instead, what King Solomon asks for is an understanding heart. He asks for an understanding heart. But why understanding? Why understanding? Well, understanding is about knowing the truth or the essence of things. Now, we can do this on a natural level when we ask philosophical questions, for example. For instance, if I want to know what makes this ambo and not something else, I can ask that question and ponder it and think about it. Or we can ask, well, what's the meaning of life? We can ask these deeper philosophical questions on a natural level. And we can also do the same thing on a supernatural level with God. But unfortunately, because God is on a higher level than we are, his ways are above our ways, our natural reason is not going to get us there. So God gives us supernatural means to be able to help us. He gives us the gift of faith. He also gives us the gift of understanding. And we receive that gift of understanding in our baptism and then more fully can access it in confirmation. Now, understanding is not just about knowing things with our head intellectually, although understanding is an intellectual virtue. But our hearts also have to be set on the right goal to know what it is that we need to understand. Our head and our heart, our intellect and our will, they need to work together to be able to seek these things. And that's why we also need pure hearts. That's why it's one of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. So this means that in order to make sure that our hearts are set in the right direction, to be able to make sure that we can seek understanding fully, that we have to free our hearts from disordered affections, from disordered attachments that we might have in our life. We have to free ourselves from those things that might distract us, those things that might pull us away from God, those things that might prevent us from seeking the kingdom of God most fully. And in fact, I think people with less material means who often live a simpler life have an easier time of being able to do this, just precisely because they are oftentimes more freed from those disordered affections. They don't have as many distractions. When I was in Guatemala, I saw this firsthand. For about 4 weeks, I lived with a host family, and this family had very modest means by our standards. Now, they weren't Catholic, so they didn't possess the fullness of truth in Revelation. But my host mom, who she and I had a lot of different conversations, we shared a lot of meals together, she had a very deep understanding of a lot of different things, and she had a lot of insightful knowledge to be able to impart, because I think she was less encumbered by material things in her life, by other concerns. Now, she might have had other worries in her life, but those material concerns were maybe not as present. So it freed her to be able to understand things just a little bit more deeply, someone who didn't have a lot of education. So here is something for us to ponder this morning, and to bring it back to my initial story about the boogie board. What things in our life do we seek before the kingdom of God? What things do we get excited about above all else, just ahead of our salvation, or things that we wish we got excited about our salvation just as much as we do this particular thing? What is that boogie board in your life? What is that thing in your life that prevents you from being able to seek and contemplate the truths of God more fully? Now, it doesn't mean that that thing that you have is sinful or bad in itself. But does it block your ability from being able to seek God first? Does it prevent us from seeking the deeper truths of the faith, from asking those truly deep questions that we need to ask? Does it prevent us from seeking our understanding most fully? And once we free ourselves from those attachments, it can help us to become more pure in heart. And we need to ask God to be able to show us these things, to help us to remove these things, so that way we can do this. We can seek that understanding in those things that matter more to the Lord. And we might find that when we do this, that our life will be more oriented towards the Lord. We'll have more time for prayer. And also just in general, I think paying attention to those daily moments in our life where the Lord wants to seek us, where he wants us to seek our salvation. Oftentimes, the Lord will just put those people, those encounters, those things in front of us to be able to seek our salvation every single day. But we're often distracted by so many other things that it's hard for us to be able to notice it or see it. And so by removing some of those things from our life, especially some of those material things from our life, it can help us to seek our salvation more clearly, to understand exactly what the Lord's will is in our life. And if we do that, that will be our hidden treasure. That will be our pearl of great price.